What causes people to lose trust? In 2016, I did an episode titled "The 5 Things You Were Doing Unconsciously That Hurt Your Credibility." It was good information for the time period and for the focus of my business. At that time, I was largely focused on supporting women business owners. Now we are post-pandemic, and my focus now is largely on women leaders within organizations. For these reasons, that original episode needs an update. A large part of my work involves preparing women leaders for their next promotion or helping them to adjust to the one they recently got. I spend a good amount of my time having conversations around communication, psychological safety, and conflict resolution. There are many variables that impact your relationships with others. Like deposits and withdrawals from a bank account, your behavior either builds goodwill or it diminishes it. For some behaviors, you know if they will have a positive or negative consequence. This is largely based on the natural consequences that come from past behavior, from what you observe, and the quantity and quality of the feedback you get from those around you. And largely due to a lack of quality feedback, you may be unaware if something you are doing is causing you to lose trust. When you lose trust, it can hurt your relationships, your reputation, and opportunities to grow in your career. Giving quality feedback is an act of caring and courage. My experience is most people, without training and mindset work, are uncomfortable giving others feedback. Without training and mindset work, giving feedback is perceived as a hard conversation. This is largely because they're unsure how the receiver is going to respond to the feedback. The fear is that the receiver will at minimum take offense and withdraw. They could also become defensive and lash out. I think we can all admit that there have been times when we avoided giving feedback for this reason. We've avoided giving feedback to protect ourselves, even though it would give the other person an opportunity to change their behavior and increase their chances of positive outcomes. On the other side of that equation, when we don't get quality feedback, it leaves us with a gap in knowledge. Others are aware of a gap in our development, but we remain unaware and thus unable to even consider making changes. This episode is going to cover some common behaviors that diminish trust that you may not be aware of, and what you can do instead to build trust. As a reminder, trust answers the basic question, can I rely on you? How much trust someone has in you is in relationship to the level to which they believe you can be relied upon. In this episode, I'm sharing 5 things that will cause people to lose trust in you. If you are new to the Women Taking the Lead podcast, hello and welcome. I'm Jody Flynn, the CEO and founder of Women Taking the Lead, a leadership development company that helps organizations achieve their gender parity goals at all levels of leadership and in all divisions of their organization. We help to realize these results through consulting, coaching, leadership development programs, and keynotes. My goal is for this podcast to be a valuable resource for you and others in your organization of all genders to grow in your leadership. If we are not already connected on LinkedIn, please send me an invitation to connect. You can find me directly at linkedin.com/IN/JodyFlynn, or you can search on the platform for Jody Flynn. I am very active on LinkedIn, so I should be at or near the top of the search results. be sure to add a note to the invitation letting me know you're a listener of the podcast, because I would love to connect with you and get to know you better. Okay, let's talk about five behaviors that can diminish trust. The first one is the delayed response time on messages. We are all busy, and it's understandable if you cannot respond immediately to an email, Slack, or voice message. But you want to be clear about what an understandable time delay would be. What makes you look like someone who has reasonable bandwidth versus someone beyond full capacity? In other words, someone who is not available for new opportunities. Now, I'm not advocating working round the clock to look like you have capacity. That will backfire on you and your well-being. If you are stretched thin and need some responsibilities to come off your plate, that's something that needs to come first. For this, I'm referring to managing your time and priorities when you have a reasonable amount of priorities or even responsibilities. And if you have unfulfilled career aspirations, you don't want to take yourself out of the running for opportunities in the form of juicy projects or a promotion. You don't want to get passed over because the perception is you can't handle it. The reality may be that right now isn't a good time for these opportunities because you are, in fact, at capacity. But I think you would want the opportunity to decide for yourself rather than having that decision made for you. Regarding how quickly to respond to messages, you want to consider a few factors. Is the message related to your business priorities? Is the message coming from a stakeholder or another person you are responsible for staying in close communication with? Or is it someone with whom you are trying to build or maintain a high level of trust? Essentially, for you, is this a VIP? And lastly, is the message coming from someone who needs your reply to move forward on a project? If that's the case, make responding to these messages a priority. Even better, for those you work with closely, ask them to include in their messages to you by when they will require a response. Knowing when a response is required is incredibly helpful, and I want to make a distinction. There's a difference between when someone would like the answer, which is probably now or ASAP, and when they actually require the response in order to be able to do what they need to do. On the other end of the spectrum, there are messages that you are not beholden to respond to at all. Pitch emails or messages from people you don't know and are not responsible for may not justify taking the time to respond. I say this kindly, and I have experience with this myself. For example, as a business owner, I receive numerous emails every day from salespeople who want to sell me something. These types of emails I give a best effort to and have templated responses to make it quicker and easier to say no thank you. However, if I am already working too much and I need to scale back, I'm not going to work longer to reply to those types of emails. So those are the two ends of the spectrum, and there are, you know, a host of people and situations that fall between those two categories. So you want to know, you know, what is an appropriate amount of time to have somebody wait to hear back from you. So for your VIPs or those people who are in the middle, here's a quick solution and something to think about. If you cannot consume the email fully or do what's requested right away, send a quick note or voicemail back, letting them know you got their message and will be giving it your full attention once it's kind of a dot, 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 insert appropriate time frame, right? You might have a deadline or something else going on kind of think of this message almost like an out of office response, like, hey, I've received your message, not able to do, you know, to get back to you right now, but at this date, this time, you will be hearing from me. This resets the expectation clock and reaffirms that you are responsible, right? You are responding and you are professional. Now the sender is no longer left wondering and making stuff up, because that's part of what goes on when we don't hear back from somebody and we need to follow up, or maybe even follow up a second time. We're left wondering, and because our minds tend to skew towards the negative, very rarely are we assuming good intentions, or at least coming from a place of, there must be something, you know, really serious going on in their life. The sooner we clearly communicate what can be expected from us, the better. The second behavior that can hurt trust is not paying attention to the details. We live in a world of bright, shiny objects. Many things are competing for our attention, but if you are not focused on what you are doing or the work you are responsible for, you will miss important details and make mistakes. In a former leadership position, I had someone on my team that wanted to be developed to be in management someday. And usually this is a great thing. Having someone who wants to prove that they are ready for more responsibility makes your own work more engaging and can also lift some of the load of your responsibilities. However, this person felt their current tasks were beneath them, and so did their tasks too quickly, without care, and mistakes were being made. They were so eager to move on, they were proving themselves to be unreliable. And I've seen this at all different levels of leadership, and it may not even be coming from a place of they think their current tasks are beneath them, but they are so eager to be doing something else, they're no longer investing their time, full attention, energy into making sure the work they're doing now is done well. So my advice is to be where you are right now. If you're working your way up the ladder, do your absolute best to prove that even when a task is tedious, you can be relied upon to produce good work. If you cannot be where you are right now, literally or figuratively, make your apologies and go. But if you're all in, be all in. And yes, there will be plenty to demand your attention after this conversation or that meeting or this project, but give what you are doing now 100% of your attention. Do you have a challenge to share and would be willing to share with others? There's so much that can be gained by listening to what another woman is going through and to understanding the strategy that she will implement to overcome the challenge. I've seen this in the group that is currently going through the Positive Intelligence Program. One woman shares a particular struggle she's having, and at least two others, if not all of the other women in the group, acknowledge they have had or currently have the same challenge. It's validating for all and beneficial to talk about the approaches that have been tried and which help the situation. For this reason, I would love to do more on-air coaching calls on this podcast. If you're a woman leader who's been promoted or taken on a new role in the last year, I invite you to apply to be on the Women Taking the Lead podcast. You will be completely anonymous, so you won't need to worry about anyone you work with listening to you talk about your challenges. You will gain insights and strategies to overcome any challenges you've been faced with at work, and the other women listening to your episode will learn from your experience and gain insights that they can use at work. You can find the link that will take you to the application in the episode description in your podcast app, or if you're listening on the Women Taking the Lead website, it will be at the bottom of the episode page. If you've been considering, I say do it. Submit the application. You and I can chat. At the very least, you will have explored the opportunity. The third behavior that can hurt trust is sharing past mistakes without highlighting the lesson learned. Now, this behavior may not be as common. I don't see it as often out in the wild, but when I do see it, it's a forehead slap moment. We are in a new era of business where we should be sharing ourselves more with our coworkers and leaders to build strong teams and solidify relationships. Sharing our failures often can create stronger bonds than sharing our successes. And there should be a balance, but what I've seen is the sharing of failures like really builds that psychological safety and that emotional bond. The compassion and empathy we feel when someone talks about their struggles adds emotion to the equation, forming closer ties. The caveat? If you don't finish the story with what you learned or what you put in place to make sure you don't make the same mistake twice, you leave people with the impression that you don't consider the mistake to be a big deal. There's no sense that you've taken any responsibility for what happened or that you know how to prevent it in the future. You may have, in fact, put a system in place to correct the problem, but if you don't mention it, the other party is left to assume the problem could happen again. So here's how to do it. Always finish your story by highlighting what you learned from your mistake, what systems and safety nets you've put in place to make sure it will never happen again. For me, that builds trust. When I hear the solution that came out of the mistake, I know this person has made mistakes but has become stronger and wiser from them. They'll make mistakes in the future, we all will, but this person will take responsibility and take action to rectify the situation. I can't stress this enough, how easy and how important this is to do. The fourth behavior to avoid is sharing stories of other people's mistakes for entertainment. I think it's safe to say we've all done this at one time or another. It feels great in the moment, it lightens the mood, but that doesn't change the fact that it's gossip. If you're lucky, the other person will never find out what you've done, but they often do, days, weeks, months, or even years later. Oftentimes, we do this when a lot of tension has built and we need to let off some steam. A comical story seems the way to go. But here's why this hurts us. When we gossip, we give unconscious permission to those listening to gossip about us. And we also can become known as a gossip. We teach people how to treat us. Remember the golden rule? Treat others as you want to be treated. That rule exists because eventually you are treated the way you treat others. You don't want to become known as the person who will use anyone's mistakes for the amusement of others. And one last note, this also pertains to listening to gossip. By listening to gossip, you will become guilty by association. It won't matter that you were not the one gossiping. So here's my suggestion. Do not share stories that put other people in a bad light for the amusement of others. When gossip starts, find an excuse to leave the conversation or change the subject. Oddly enough, intolerance for gossip solidifies your reputation for being kind, professional, and a person of integrity. In the short term, it may annoy those who enjoy listening to gossip, but they'll come to respect your stance and trust that you won't gossip about them or entertain gossip about them. If you want to get promoted, guard your reputation as a person who understands psychological safety and can keep confidentiality no matter how funny or juicy the story is. When the urge to share a juicy tidbit comes up, let it pass and pat yourself on the back. You are building the confidentiality muscle, and this is priceless. Instead of sharing gossip, ask the person or people you're with how you can support them. Make the conversation about the people in the room and leave the people out of the room, out of the room. Your offer of support will also increase your likability factor. Okay, the fifth behavior that you want to avoid in order to maintain a high level of trust is letting the fact that you know, and I'm going to put this in quotes, better leak out. Let's get this one out in the open. You do have expertise. You can see at times where other people are making mistakes, and you do want to help them. Helping them to see these mistakes and make the appropriate corrections will likely make a significant improvement in their health, wealth, and happiness. However, somewhere between identifying the problem and the other person executing that perfect resolution, something happens in the communication. Something in the way the information is conveyed or the way it is received. Often this happens with the person who seems to be your rival or adversary at work. You know the person. They're the ones who always seem to have a perspective or opinion that is so different from yours, it feels personal. Really, it can happen with anyone, but if you're looking for an example, look to that person. Rather than listening to you as the expert, you are listened to as one or more of the following: the interloper, the critic, the know-it-all, the judge, the complainer, the do-right, the fun police, the Kool-Aid drinker, the dictator, the micromanager, or that annoying person. Could be any one of those things. What you don't realize, and this has been me as well, is that what you are emitting is your attitude. The attitude of, I know better than you, comes out in your facial expression, your tone of voice, or the words you choose in your communication. No one likes to be considered less than. No one appreciates being talked down to. They will listen for only so long, and then all your good intentions go out the window, and you're left with a bad reputation, and probably scratching your head, wondering why. So here's what you do. Before you speak, check and calibrate your attitude. Remind yourself why you are trying to help the other person. Come from a place of compassion. We've all been there. Be curious and listen first before you offer up suggestions. When you do offer up suggestions, offer your insights as merely one solution, as a gift without strings attached, without judgment, and leave it up to them. This approach gives you the reputation as a mentor, a resource, a collaborator, a team player, and a good leader. And that's a reputation that builds trust among your leaders. So, what about you? Are there any behaviors that you've seen, quote unquote, out in the wild that hurt trust? Let me know. Respond to on any of the social media platforms where you'll find a post about this episode. They'll be on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. I want to hear from you. What is a behavior that someone would want to avoid, and what should they do instead to build trust? Thank you so much for listening to the Women Taking the Lead podcast. I have three small favors to ask. If you are not yet subscribed to the podcast, hit the follow or subscribe button so you don't miss out on the upcoming episodes. Know anyone else who can benefit from this episode? Please share it with them. And if you are looking for leadership development opportunities for yourself, your team, or your organization, reach out to me. We can customize a program that meets your specific needs. You can reach me at jody@womentakingthelead.com. And as always, I hope this was of value to you, and here's to your success.